Everyone here tonight, I'm glad that you were faithful. I know the pastor appreciates your faithfulness and his absence, and I wish others were here, but you know, the Lord knows, so we'll be grateful for what we have, and we will just proceed by God's grace and with his help. If you would, tonight, I'd like for you to open your Bibles, first of all, to the book of Isaiah. That's not going to be my text verse tonight, but it is important that I felt it important anyway to share these verses of Scripture tonight before I begin the message, lest anyone might be confused, because God is not the author of confusion, and I don't want anyone to be confused or uncertain about what I'm going to be preaching, but the title might sound a little odd, so anyway, let me read here in Isaiah chapter 55, beginning with verse number. I think we'll just start with verse 6 and just read just about two or three verses here. If you would, if you are able tonight, I appreciate that you stand together for the reading of God's word in honor of the word and its author. Isaiah chapter 55, and we'll begin reading at verse number 6. If you found your place, you say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Good. All right, Isaiah 55, verse number 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let them return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon.
Amen.
Verse 8 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being here tonight. Lord, I thank you, first of all, for loving me and for saving my soul, and Father, for giving me eternal life, and Father, for your abundant blessings through the years of my life. Lord, I thank you, Father, for this church. Thank you for the church family that's gathered here tonight. Lord, I pray that you would work in their hearts and lives, each and every one. I pray, Father, you'd speak to us by through your word, by your Holy Spirit. Father, I pray that you'd have control. Lord, I do not want to attempt to preach this message, Father, in my own energy, Lord, without your power, Lord, I am nothing and can do nothing. So, Lord, I yield myself to you, and I pray that you would have total control of all that's said and done. May Jesus be lifted up. May you receive the honor and the glory in it all. And, Father, we pray again for our pastor and his family.
Yes.
And, Lord, we ask you to continue to watch over them and bring them home safely at the conclusion of their time there in Virginia. Now, Lord, we ask you to meet with us here. Yes. Speak to our hearts, Lord. Have your perfect will and way, and we'll thank you and praise you, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. You may be seated. I appreciate your standing. All right, now if you will, I would appreciate if you would turn over in the New Testament to the book of Mark, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10. Mark, chapter 10. And I hope that I can get this message in about 2 hours and 15 minutes. I thought that would evoke some sort of response from y'all. Now, seriously, I'm afraid if I go that far, it'll be like the young man sitting in the window ledge that fell out and the apostle had to perform EMR. Now, you might ask, what in the world is EMR? Well, that was emergency missionary resuscitation. Amen. All right. Well, tonight, the title of my sermon, if it has a title, I guess, is the thought that came to me when I began reading and praying about the message a couple of weeks ago, at least. I've slept a wink or two, so I lose track of time. But anyway, the title of my message is this: Is Thy Way the Way? Is Thy Way the Way? And the message is going to come from the Gospel of Mark, chapter number 10. And this is the Lord Jesus Christ's ministry. As he was in Mark chapter 9, you find him up in the northern section of Israel. And now he's transitioning from the northern section back down to the south. Praise the Lord for the south. Amen. But he was. This wasn't just a random direction that he was headed in. He was going south for a reason. He had a mission to accomplish, and he was on his way to do that. But along the way, he was going to have several different encounters. And we're going to read about some of those tonight, I trust. And hopefully, God will speak to your heart through his Spirit, and that this will be a help and a blessing to someone tonight, I pray. That is my desire. I never want to get up and preach the Word of God without it, hopefully, by God's grace, being a help and a blessing to the hearers. I'm no fancy preacher, and I may stumble and bumble along, but praise God, he's still on the throne, and he's in control, and I'm trusting him tonight to take and bless this message to your hearts. In Mark chapter 10, we began reading in verse number 1, and he arose, speaking of Jesus, from thence, and cometh unto the coast of Judea by the farther side of Jordan. And the people resort unto him again, and as he was wont, he taught them again. Amen. You know, Jesus was the ultimate preacher, I believe. Amen. But I think his style was probably somewhat different most of the time than perhaps John the Baptist. But Jesus spoke with authority because he was the authority. He was the living word. And so what he said was directly God's word.
Yeah.
Verse number 2 says, and the Pharisees, that's our first way we're going to look at tonight, the Pharisees came to him and asked him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife, tempting him? There, the Pharisees' way is what I'd like for us to look at first in this message of Is Thy Way the Way? The Pharisees came to him with a tempting question. They were trying to trap Jesus, which was futile. You can't trap the Lord in anything. I mean, because he's totally holy and righteous, and everything he said is right. But their motive was perverted and deceitful, and they hated Jesus. There's no question, we don't have any doubt about that from what the Scripture teaches us. And you know, but God still loved them and would have still saved them if they'd only allowed him to. However, they come to Jesus with this question, and here's his answer. And he answered, verse 3, and he answered and said unto them, what did Moses command you? And they said, Moses suffered to write a bill of divorcement and put her away. And Jesus answered and said unto them, for the hardness of your hearts he wrote you this precept. Who wrote you the precept? Moses did. Why? Because of the hardness of their heart. Their way was a hard-hearted way. Proverbs 16 verse 25 says, if I can remember to quote it properly, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death.
Amen, that's right.
Divorce is not in God's perfect purview of things. We know that from the Scriptures. Unfortunately, it does happen. Sometimes it's beyond our control, particularly, and there's not much we can do about it. If we can do something about it, we should, because it's not God's will, perfect will anyway, for our lives, but it does happen. But at any rate, divorce brings about a death, if you will, a death of a relationship. And everybody in that relationship is going to suffer to some extent. And usually the people that end up suffering the worst are the children.
That's right.
And so God's not for divorce. And he went on to talk about this, and I'm not going to read all of these verses for sake of time, because there's a number of issues that we're going to try to touch on tonight. But he went on to say, you know, but I do want to say a couple of things right here. In verse 6, he says, from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female.
Amen.
And it works.
Amen.
It works. It's always worked.
Yep.
It still works.
Amen.
And as long as we're here on the earth, it will continue to work if we allow God to let it work.
Amen.
You know, the term Heinz 57 variety used to, I believe, refer to a line of a product of soup, different flavors of soup. Well, nowadays we have more than, I believe I read in one article some while back, more than 157 supposed different genre, or the word I'm looking for is sexes, you know, I mean, well, anyway, I know the word, but it's dancing around out there.
Race.
But I'm like,
gender. Race.
Well, gender. There you go. Thank you. Glory to God. Appreciate it. There's only two genders, male and female.
Right.
But now they claim that that people can have as much as 157 different genders.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. That's wicked.
Right.
It's wrong.
Right.
And we ought to just stand against it.
That's right.
We ought to tell people the truth in love.
Yeah.
Speak the truth in love is what the Bible tells us. And stand against that sort of thing. All right, well, the children suffer. And that's the next thing that I want to touch on as we drop down now to verse 13. And they brought young children to him. And this is while Jesus is making his way from the north back to the south towards Jerusalem. And they brought young children to him that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. Well, you know, maybe they meant well, but it didn't evoke a very good response from the Lord. Because it says in verse 14, but when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them. I have, you know, the modern day translation might be he was thoroughly ticked, or he was highly unhappy with his disciples for doing that. So he says to them, suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Amen. Why did he say that? Well, because it's the truth.
That's right.
Jesus, and that's all he ever spoke, was the truth. Little children, why is the kingdom of heaven like little children? Let's look at verse 15 also. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein.
Yeah.
And sorry, these glasses are a bit fogged up. I apologize. And he took him in his arms and put his hands upon him and blessed them. The little children were simple and trusting.
Yeah.
And we need to reach the children of this world. We need to reach the children of Denton, Texas.
Amen.
We need to get, as God leads us, we need to get a church up and going in Little Elm to reach the children of Little Elm. We need to reach the children all around the world. Thank God for our missionaries.
Amen.
To go in our stead.
Amen.
Where we cannot physically go to reach the children and others, but they go in our stead, and we need to be faithful to support them.
Amen.
Not only in prayer, but in finances. We've got a mission conference upcoming. Praise the Lord. And gives us an opportunity. I thank the Lord for every missionary that you, every plaque you see, our walls back there lined and in the hallways. And they're expanding, ever expanding. And praise God for that. This is a very small church, a relatively small church. I know of a lot of churches, many times bigger than this, don't support nearly half as many missionaries as we do. Now, I'm bragging on God, because he's a great God, and he's blessed us, but we need to keep on. We haven't reached everybody yet, so we've got more missionaries to take on, more mission fields to be covered, and we've got a field right here in front of us, right outside our walls, right here in the city of Denton. If we don't reach them, somebody else will.
Yep, that's right.
If we don't reach them with the truth, somebody's going to reach them with false doctrine.
That's right. That's right.
I saw an article online the other day, and I was astounded in a sense by it, because it talked about the fastest growing conversions, religion with conversions, is Islam. Now, maybe that's no surprise to a lot of us, but what the next thing I read about it was rather shocking in a way. I thought, well, it says that the greatest group of people that were being converted to Islam were Hispanics. This state, the grand state of Texas, is more Hispanic in its, there's a word, but I can't remember it. But anyway, and it's in the number of people, it didn't used to be that way, but the Anglo people in this state are now the minority. There's more Hispanic people here. Can you imagine what things are going to be like if we don't reach them with the gospel, with the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Muslims get a hold of them? Because this one lady was quoted as saying, well, I could be Muslim just as easy as I could be Catholic. Maybe so. One dead religion to another. But we have the way. We have the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the truth. And we need to reach people as fast as God will enable us to do so. We need more churches. We need more workers. Truly, it should be said that the fields are white unto harvest, but the laborers are few.
Yes.
Pray ye unto the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his field. We need more workers.
Yes,
we need people to man the buses and the vans. God's provided us with two buses, one still being worked on, three vans, one needs to be have work on it, but we've got several vehicles.
Amen.
We've got enough vehicle capacity right now that God has provided us. It's up and running. That we could bring probably 50 or 60 kids easily to church.
Yes, sir.
50, 60 people, and say, well, that's just a small number. Well, it's a start.
Amen.
I mean, you know, when we reach all that we can hold and take care of, I believe God will give us a bigger facility and more people and more means to do so. He's not going to overwhelm us. He's not going to give us more than we can take care of. But are we doing all that we can right now? Anyway, the young children, Jesus blessed them, and we need to reach them. And then it gives us an opportunity to reach their families as well. Sometimes a better opportunity than we would have just trying to reach the parents in the beginning. God help us. The next way I'd like for us to look at tonight here in Mark chapter 10 is the way of the rich young ruler. Jesus was confronted next by this individual. And we find in verse number 17, we find that scripture says, and when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Well, he's off base to begin with. But anyway, and Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There's none good but one, that is God. Well, he was speaking the truth in a matter of sense, because he was addressing God, the Lord Jesus Christ, but Jesus was trying to teach him something. And Jesus goes on to say in verse 19, thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, master, all these things have I observed from my youth. good for him. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him. Praise God for his love, for his mercy and grace. And he said unto him, one thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross, and follow me. In verse 22, his response was, and he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. The way of the rich young ruler, the way of the wealthy. First of all, it was an arrogant way that he approached the Lord in my purview, the way I look at it. And it was self-dependent. He said, what must I do? Well, the answer is nothing, of course. And Romans 3:10 tells us that, you know, he asked about how do you inherit eternal life. Well, my Bible tells me that eternal life is a gift from God. And it's not to be earned. In fact, Ephesians 2:8-9, very clear. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So we know that you cannot earn salvation. It's a free gift from God. And eternal life, praise God for it, but we can't earn it. We can't buy it. We can only receive it as a gift from God by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. But he went away sorrowful. That's so sad. And Jesus went on to expound it. It would be easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter heaven. Of course, his disciples were astounded, and they thought, and I'm not reading this verse by verse here for the sake of time tonight. But he said, then they said, well, if that's the case, who can be saved? And Jesus went on to tell him, well, with man it's impossible. But with God all things are possible. Praise the Lord. Thank God for his mercy and grace. The next way, I'm going to skip over it for time, but I would invite you to read about it. It's very interesting, although it doesn't mention thy way or the way in particular, but it's implied, and that's the way of the disciples. A couple of the disciples had a special request of the Lord that they wanted him to expedite for them, take care of, and he said, guys, just abbreviate it for him, he said, you know what you're asking. And you need to, that's verses 35 through 45. If you want to go back it later and reread that, I think it would be worth your time. Amen. To do so. But anyway, he says, you don't understand what you're asking. They wanted to sit one on the right hand, one on the left hand in his glory. And he said, you're going to be able to drink the cup that I'm going to drink, and you're going to be able to be baptized with the baptism that I baptize with. But to give that is not mine to give. And he said, but it will be given to them for whom it is prepared. And then he went on to expound the fact that those that would be greatest in the kingdom must first be servant of all. And I don't believe anybody was more of a servant than the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So I believe it's prepared for him.
Amen.
The next way we want to look at tonight, if we may, and we'll cover all of these verses, Lord willing. Beginning in verse 46, the Bible says, and they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. Verse 47. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more, a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still.
Amen.
He brought Jesus to a halt. Praise the Lord. And commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And verse 50, and he casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. Amen. And he answered and said unto him, Jesus speaking, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Well, before he said that, I want to say something here. Back in verse 51, and he answered him and said unto him, What wilt thou do unto thee that I should do unto thee? And the blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. He came to the right source. He was by the highway side, blind and begging. That highway, there were a couple of thoughts that came to my mind. For one, of course, Jesus was on the highway, you know, as opposed to the low way. But the highway also comes to my mind, a broad way, a way that's well-traveled. Yeah. There were a lot of people following Jesus. But the Bible tells us that broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Mm-hmm. And that the way to everlasting life is narrow, and few there be that find it.
Yeah.
But blind Bartimaeus found out it was Jesus. He hollers, he cries out to Jesus. It's all he can do. He's blind, he's lost, he needs help.
Amen.
He asked Jesus for help.
Amen.
And Jesus stood still and called for him.
Amen.
And Jesus healed him.
Amen.
And Jesus saved him.
Amen.
In verse 52, and Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole.
Amen.
And immediately, and I'm glad it says immediately, he received his sight. Now, he did receive it right away because the Bible says so. But he didn't. Jesus said he was made whole. Just whole physically? No. He was whole physically. He was whole spiritually.
Amen.
He was born again.
Amen.
He was saved. He was on his way to heaven.
Amen.
And he could see, praise
Amen.
God.
Amen.
And he didn't have to wait for postal service 3 or 4 day delivery. He got it immediately.
Amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Salvation is of God. It's instantaneous.
Amen.
And it's forever.
Amen.
In conclusion, I'd like to say this. John 14, verse 6, well known scripture. I'm sure probably nearly everybody in here could quote it. Jesus saith unto them, I am the way,
Amen.
The truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me.
Yes,
going back to the title of my message, is Thy Way the Way? Well, if we're like blind Bartimaeus, who received his sight, and immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way.
Amen.
Jesus is the way.
Amen.
And if our way is his way, then it can be said, thy way is the way.
Amen.
Because Jesus is the way.
Amen.
May God bless you tonight. Thank you.
Amen.
Brother Wisdom.